Every Tuesday, we hop on the 7 line, cruise on down to Morton Street, turn north into the Fernandez Plaza we go, through the doors of the City Hall, into the mayor's office, and there's our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton. Is the air conditioning working properly down at Showers Plaza today?
Welcome, welcome. Yes, it's comfortable. We're happy about that.
Thank you. That is good. That is now that's a big deal moving forward, the weather, because city government, county government, government in general, you can't say, well, it's too hot today, we'll be back tomorrow. So trash still needs to be picked up, improvements still need to be made, and we just got to keep those folks cool as a cucumber moving forward.
We got a lot of people who work outdoors, police and fire to sanitation and street and, you know, animal crews and all kinds of folks. So absolutely, and we also know, you know, if there are people in town who are facing dire results from heat, please reach out either, you know, either through 911 if it's an emergency, or come by a fire station and talk to people. And we don't want anybody to be left alone or not being able to handle this. So please reach out to us.
And, yes, stay cool. We all know folks that maybe don't like to run their air condition, don't want to, might not even have it, but you got to stay cool. You don't want to overheat. It's very, very serious
dangerous.
To do so. It is dangerous. And the other point that will always come up when we start cooking like this, but it happens all the time, the police cruisers remain running. They do so because they have too much stuff inside them that need to stay cold. It's like being in a radio studio. We always have to keep it cold because all the equipment's going on. So people say, well, why are we wasting gas? Why? Well, that's why. So if you see any of that, don't worry. That is happening. Happening for a reason. And again, that is public safety. Trash will still get picked up. Maybe we'll start a little earlier, try to beat some of the heat. But the other point of this is, thankfully, we're not experiencing what the West and Southwest is. And my goodness, some of the numbers they're putting up is, well, what can you do? You just got to stay cool.
I mean, it's really challenging some of those places where, you know, and you it's kind of, heat is kind of a quiet secret killer. It's not like a tornado or a big calamity that hits, but it can, the numbers, if you look at the deaths from heat waves, they're very serious. And when you face like what Arizona or some of them are with so many days in a row, it really gets dangerous and a challenge to the electric grid and to the social services and healthcare systems and all. So it's something we got to pay a lot of attention to. Stay hydrated and try to do stuff outdoors, you know, not in the heat of the sun, if you can avoid it.
Take your time, take a deep breath, and there's some things we can control and some things we can't, and the weather is not one of those. So we just make you aware of it, and then you can make, hopefully, informed decisions. A great example of that was last Thursday. We sat around and watched all the clouds and storm clouds gather and everything else, and we thought, well, there goes the Thursday night summer concert series. Well, it rained for half an hour and it left. That can happen as well. But what a great turnout at Switchyard Park last Thursday for the second of three in the summer concert series. We talked about attendance for the one back in June. How do we do in version number two?
Yeah, you know, I actually went Friday. There was a great concert Friday.
Oh, the Dynamics, absolutely.
I couldn't make the Thursday, but I went Friday, and they did delay the Thursday night for, I think, a half hour, 20 minutes, something like that, because of the weather. But then they ended up with, I think, 1,600 people Thursday night and 1,500 people Friday night. I don't know if they were all different people. Some might have gone twice, but we had 3,100 people in two nights. So that was a new level, and it was really fun to see. The place was hopping Friday night. But also, there's plenty of room. You don't feel crowded. So it was great. It was really fun. And the farmers market had about 2,500 people on Saturday morning. They'd had, I think, 3 weeks of kind of damp Saturdays, and this Saturday pass was beautiful, and tons of people came out. So it was a nice string there.
And you're right. It was the first Saturday in four. It was the first Saturday in July that we didn't have any weather to worry about, and Saturday was awfully, awfully perfect regardless of where you were. And 81 on Friday, yeah, just a little bit better as well. So it's great to hear that folks are enjoying the outdoor spaces. And, well, you've got the splash pad over there. Pools are going to be open for this weekend and, this week and weekend. And then when we get to school time, we are going to do some different hours. So we want everybody to be aware of that, correct? We'll just be on the weekends from that point?
We do switch to weekend. The Mills Pool closes pretty soon. I don't know the exact date, sorry. But and then Bryant Park stays open for the weekends through to Labor Day, I believe. But there's just a lot less activity during the week once the schools open up and the kiddies go back into their learning mode.
And they will be back starting tomorrow. Well, a week from tomorrow. And that's important as well. Traffic patterns will change. We want everybody to be safe. School buses will be out and about. And again, let's take a deep breath and get back to it.
Yeah.
And if August is going to start next week and we're going to talk next week on August 1st, well, we know that the city is going to change its circadian rhythm. We're going to have folks either moving out by the August 1st deadline,
right,
who might have not been here all summer, and then you're going to have the 2 weeks of getting everything ready for the return on August 15th. MCCSC goes back. RBB is happening. There's all kinds of things going on.
It's a time of transition, isn't it? I actually noticed quite a few moving trucks last weekend, too. Just happened, a lot of different. So that's already begun, but you're right. You know, be careful, be safe, be slow. Watch for those school buses. I was driving the other night, and somebody started coming north on Washington Street, and I'm like, that's not supposed to happen.
No.
You get people making some wrong turns, so let's just all take a breath and be careful.
Take a deep breath, and we will get it all ready to go. Yeah, but head on a swivel. So that needs to happen as well. You had a busy Friday last Friday. You talked about being enjoying the concerts at the Switchyard Park. Food Truck Friday was going on, but before all of that happened, you stuck some shovels in the ground at Hopewell, and that's got to be a big milestone to that development. Take me back to last Friday and tell me what I might have missed.
It was really nice. We had 50 or 60 people there in the middle of a field. But, if you haven't been by the old hospital site, Hopewell, between 1st and 2nd, a little west of downtown, Rogers Street, it's a lot of grass. You can see the real contours of the place. It's a beautiful hilly site, 24 acres, and we put our shovels in the ground because right now we're starting to build the underground infrastructure, the wastewater and the sewers and the stormwater, and the starting to put the street grid back together over the next 12 months or so. And we're starting to market that property to say who can help us build housing. We got room for hundreds of families to live in there, and over the next coming years we're going to see a lot of development. And that kicked off physically last Friday afternoon. It's a long haul. We're only partway there, but it was a big step. It was really exciting.
And that process and timeline, who dictates that? How do we – I know you've got Renheisen and John West and all the other people's names I forget that are paying attention to that. But is there a timeline in the sense by 2026 we want to be here, or is it just piecemeal creates the timeline?
Really good question. One of the roles of a mayor is a crack the whip kind of role, just trying to keep things moving, you know. I mean, in any organization, sometimes it's hard to get things done as quickly as you want. So I will, and I expect the next administration will be a cheerleader / whipcracker to try to make sure we keep moving on that. The CBCI, the City of Bloomington Capital Improvement nonprofit you referenced, will be doing that. The Redevelopment Commission will be doing that. But as you know, committees sometimes aren't as they can get distracted too. But we're really appreciative of them. Then I think you also have to reflect the market drives a lot of this, Mike. We can say these properties are for sale. We want this to happen on them, but we've got to see partners come forward and say, I'm in. I want to do it. And then they have to have their timelines, so it's kind of like conducting an orchestra when not everybody comes in when they're supposed to, I guess. But it's a messy process, but I'm confident it will go well. I'm sure there'll be surprises along the way, but that timing, you know, we want to see, we have a construction schedule now. I don't know all the details, but basically, you know, over the next 12 months or so doing this infrastructure, we're talking now to builders and developers who we want to, they've got to go through a lot of process to do their work. And anytime somebody starts building, it's going to take 12 to 18 months at least to get a building open. So there's a whole bunch of, you know what a Gantt chart is, all those things of lines of who's going to do what when that add up to years and years of development to come.
And it is a big project in that sense, and a lot of moving parts to it. Another big project that is heading to the zoning committee. I get these all.
Yeah, the Plan Commission.
The Planning Commission.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it the Weimer Road Project until somebody gets a better name for it. Well, it's 138 acres. You just told me how big Hopewell was. Well, this is much, 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 much larger than that. The difference being it's not city property. This will be a private development to a degree. That's going to change a lot of Bloomington as well. On, I guess, what would we call that? The west side? The northwest?
Southwest side, maybe. Something? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a huge, you're right. It's five times bigger than Hopewell. It's the largest undeveloped kind of area of tract of land inside the city, and it's been on our radar since I came in. We've been working with potential developers, investors. It's been stalled a bit. The pandemic stalled it a little bit, but we're very pleased that we now have a new ownership group that bought all those acres that's intent on making a bunch of housing available. It's going to be a partnership because they can't do that without physical public infrastructure, roads, and that's too expensive for a developer to cover on their own up front. So we're working closely with them. I am very pleased. That is a great place for thousands of new homes to be. It's, you know, near a school. It's near many amenities, and it's been sitting there a long time, and we need more homes for people. That'll help affordability and access, and so that too is a long process. That's probably a 10 or 15 year build out ultimately for all of that, but they're getting ready to get started. They've been in front of the Plan Commission once. They'll go again, then they'll go to City Council to get some approvals, and then we'll be basically, I mean, this may be getting into the weeds too much, but one of the things we do as a city is we use the incremental taxes generated by a new place like that to help pay for the infrastructure that supports it. So we're kind of bootstrapping the new development to help pay for itself with the taxes they're adding to help put the roads in, put the storm sewers in, and all that helps keep everything more affordable and gets projects done.
I don't mean this in a negative connotation. It just feels like every time we get a project like this, let me start over because there's not many projects like this. Anytime we get a new big idea, it seems like we pull it 18 different directions. What's going to be the biggest headache with this one? Is it we want a building that's 10 stories? We want to have a hotel? We want to have this mixed use stuff? Where does the planning commit? Do we have in place the vision for 10 to 15 years down the road in the current plans of the Planning Commission?
That's a good question. I think basically yes. This development comports. It fits well with our comprehensive plan, which is the big, you know, physical. What should the city look like? You know, over the next 30 years, how tall, how dense, et cetera. Where should the infrastructure be? And this is where we want development to happen. I believe in an area like this, you can do a lot of density. You want to create good connectivity. There will be sensitivity for that, for sure, from some of the folks who are nearby or may have other interests. We in the public sector want to make sure there's a range of affordability of units there if we can, and we can help subsidize that to make sure it's a neighborhood that can accommodate different levels of income. So it's a big, messy process. Look, it's a complicated world. These are, and you've got, it's driven by private sector investors, right? So, I think maybe if you think back 100 years and, you know, in the old days, a city would develop maybe a block at a time, and the city might put in a new street and help pay for that, and then individuals would buy their homes along that street. It was probably more organic and piecemeal. Now we're doing it in bigger chunks, which may be a little more complicated, but it's kind of the way the money in the world works these days is we're not seeing a. Here's another picture. Suppose we paid for $50 million of roads and infrastructure out there and then just said, let's let 5,000 people buy individual lots out there. That would be kind of a strange process. It probably wouldn't work very well.
That's a good point. And things evolve and things do change. And keeping up or looking into the future, it's not always easy. But that seems to be the last big piece of land in the city limits. Would that be an accurate statement? I don't have my platted map in front of me. But
nothing that big left, or some very close by to the city, but nothing that big left in the city right now that's undeveloped. And, 140 acres, that's pretty unusual.
Well, any of you that have lived on that side of town and driven down Weimer Road and you've seen the signs for this is coming soon and this, well, that's not the part. This new part's back behind all that.
Right.
So, there's some room to boogie down there for sure. There's also room where we know to put up a convention center. And as we get the city council back in action this week, the county commissioners and they've put their two committee members up for the CIB. Is this what we're doing here? I can't remember the.
Yep. They named two people.
And then you and the city need to name two as well. Or how does this work? How many do you get? Is it three?
We get the county gets three and the city gets three, and the county has named two of their three. I'm not aware of a third one. And then
that's where I got confused, because John Weikart and Joyce Poling are 66% of that.
Exactly.
So I have a blank line for the other one. The city, now you guys are on the clock. Are you going to make that decision sooner than later? Is there a timeline for that?
Yeah, I'll be actually talking after we hang up to the city council leadership about that. We haven't had a chance to talk yet. They're just coming back in. As you know, they're starting their schedule again tomorrow, and we'll be I'll be talking to them about the plans going forward. And again, I'm a broken record. I've been supporting the convention center for 7.5 years, and I'll continue to do it. I want to make sure we can do it well and do it efficiently and create a great, beautiful, effective downtown expansion, and that's going to be my goal till the last day's done in my tenure.
Yeah, till you blow that the horn or the party horn on Auld Lang Syne there at 12:01. Now, let's get inside baseball for just a second, because I'm fascinated. I haven't sat in on any of these meetings, nor do I know how they work. Do you hand them a list, and they hand you back a list, and you try to, you had him too? Oh, okay, or you had her too? Oh, good. How does this work?
Well, I think it should work by that. We had no contact from the county before they named their people. They didn't ask us anything about it. I'm sure we will within the city talk about it. I do think that kind of coordination is important. There was no coordination from the county in their first appointments, but we'll move on. It'll be okay.
Not the end of the world. We can get through this together. All right, you've got things on the arts beat you want to get to. That's good. I want to hear about them, and I will remind you, and you and the listeners, Drool in the Pool is next week.
There we go.
Mills Pool, it's August 2nd and August 3rd. Both evenings are 5 to 8 p.m. It's $5 per dog. It doesn't say anything here about the humans, so your dog better have a wallet or Google Pay or something else. I don't know. What do you put that on the collar? I don't know how that works. And here's the other thing you need to remember. Whether you think it's fair or not, that doesn't matter. It's one dog per human. So you can't bring 14 dogs or take your whole neighborhood crew there or do whatever else. But we're going to have fun. There's a bunch of sponsors. You can learn more about it at bloomington.in.gov/parks/events, and then you will see Drool in the Pool. They give you all the things that you need to go and do.
That's always a kick.
It's fun, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But no, I don't think the humans are going to get this. Is for the dogs. This is for the dogs. Drool in the Pool. It's the 18th edition, so this isn't something new. We've tried. Ooh. Everybody should. Everybody
anything,
should.
Anything any dogs been there? Everyone, that would be something.
Oh, that would be.
Maybe they give awards like what? Wolf, have you been here 10 times? You know, I don't know.
Raise your paw and repeat after me.
Well, listen, thanks for asking. I thought it would be, it's interesting, you know, the city has so much going on all the time besides all the festivals and performances we talked about. I know there's some cool stuff happening. Some Bloomington South students, you may have seen, they won a big award for their sustainability, their development of paint. And
yes, the reflective paint or absorbent paint.
Yeah.
Yes.
They just put a mural up, a cool mural at Wonder Lab with that. So that was kind of fun. We'll do a ceremony for that in the future. But I just want to give a shout out to Secretly Group, one of our really cool local companies. That's really an international music leader, and they're moving some of their offices to inside the city to another place, and they opened up their building to free artist studios. So there's four artists who are beginning their residency at South Rogers Street. So I just want to give a shout out to Secretly Group, and you know, a lot of this stuff we help make that happen, but a lot of this is from just really creative people making things happen. And then finally, Fountain Square has a really cool exhibit on local artists who are doing textile work that you can check down, including students and local residents and all. We got new staff members at Buskirk Chumley and Constellation, and you know, it's been tough for artists since the pandemic. It's been a real challenge, but it's really wonderful to see so much collaboration and progress happening.
And, well, yeah, it's nonstop here. Everything is revving up, ready to go. Any big projects on the horizon we need to be aware of? We know all the students are coming back. We know school is going to start. We know that's all going to change. Do we quiet down? Is Wason still busy? We just keep on trucking. I'll try to get everything done before school starts.
We're busy. Hey, and by the way, I think you're going to have somebody else next Tuesday because I'm going to be out. But I do know next week a couple cool things. These are different. One, Rose Hill Cemetery, which is hard to get into. You definitely can't get out, but it's hard to get into, too. We're adding a scatter garden, which will be for cremains, for ashes, which we don't have in Bloomington. And next Thursday, I think, we're going to be dedicating that in that great historic cemetery, which will actually open it up for a bunch more people to be able to have their loved ones and memories there and all. So that's happening. And then we're going to be dedicating, cutting a ribbon on Rogers Family Park, formerly known as the Goat Farm, next Friday. So,
that is a big deal. Yeah, big piece of land down there as well. It's been redone.
Yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of new stuff there, new accessibility, and so stuff keeps happening. We keep rocking. We actually, tomorrow, a bunch of people from around the Big Ten are coming in. City managers from Big Ten cities are showing up to sit down together with our folks and talk about what's going on in Madison, Wisconsin, and North, you know, Evanston and Columbus and whatever you can name. You know them all.
Well, that's it. But that's interesting you bring that up, because there are some metropolitan or urban campuses, and there's some like Iowa City or Lincoln or State College that have different needs and thoughts and everything else. It's great to get everybody to get together, though. That's the collegial part of all of that.
Yeah, town gowns en masse.
And of course, the council is back in session tomorrow night. What is on, or tonight? Is it tonight?
It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. The 26th. Yeah. That's right. What is on their agenda that we need to pay attention to?
Let's see. We're going to release the fourth city survey.
That's
every 2 years, so that'll be coming out, presented to them. We've got the famous Cascades Road decision that we're trying to help the council figure out what they're going to do with that.
Briefly on that. Is it a decision required, or is a decision suggested? How does this process, to me, we've been talking about this forever, and I've gone through, maybe I've convoluted it myself, but what? So the road is there.
The roads have been there for a long time.
The roads have been there for a long time, and then the park has been redone down there. I hit some golf balls the other day, drove through there, very nice. What does anything have to be done?
Let me set it up for you.
I'm going to get my pen and write it down this time.
Okay. So the city has a big thing called the transportation plan, which is a major document that outlines how we want people to get around, where we need to build things, how we improve transportation overall, all kinds of transportation, walking to buses, right? And that transportation plan, which the city council passes, instructs the administration on a bunch of stuff. And one of the things it said, it was passed a few years ago, three years ago or so, said, we need a bike and pedestrian connection from Miller Showers Park there at Walnut and College into the park, basically up to, you know, Country Club Drive, where there's a bunch of paths that take you to North High School or take you up to Griffey or all that stuff. And so that transportation plan is an instruction manual to us, the city administration, to say, you guys got to figure out how to put a bike-ped connection in there. What we're going to be doing this week is saying we see four options to accomplish that plan that you told us to do, city council, on behalf of the community. And they involve the road. Either use the road as a path, or build a new path, or close half the road and use it as a path, or just don't do anything and don't get a connection. And what we're trying to do, it's complicated, and there's not a simple answer, or not everybody will agree on what to do. So that's the best role for city council. They represent 85,000 people. They're closest to the people to say, which do you want us to do? We as an administration have a recommendation about what we think is the best way to get this done, which is to close the road and turn it into a pedestrian bicycle path. It saves $3 million. You don't really want a bunch of traffic through a park. Anyway, I'll go through all that. But ultimately, we're just encouraging the council to tell us what to do, which path to take.
All right. The path.
Does that help?
The path of least resistance.
There you go.
What is the other one? On
you
Walden
take the high
Pond?
Road. I take the low road.
What was that? Was that Wadsworth or what was the? I don't remember.
Into the Valley of Death. Is
no,
that what
no, 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 no. The road less traveled or what?
Oh, Robert Frost.
Robert Frost.
Road less traveled.
See, there
maybe.
You go. That's why. That's
know.
Why I bring you on here. This is. You should help me with trivia. If you could, if you could call back in 48 hours, I will be immersed in things
with
I don't know.
With our new deputy mayor, right?
Oh, good.
It's your new deputy,
Larry
mayor,
Allen.
Yeah.
Former offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys. Not that Larry Allen, the other Larry Allen. He gets started officially when? August 1?
Saturday.
Okay. It was
this Saturday.
Well, then he's got to be mayor at the market, right?
I don't know if he'll be there, but he's ready to pick up the mantle. Mary Catherine's carried it awfully well for her chunk of time, and now we got Larry stepping in, as you know, number four, and deputy mayor number four, but we'll get it done. Anyway, people are working really hard to keep taking care of our city, and I do appreciate you sharing the time. Let us talk about what's going on.
Thanks, buddy. Enjoy next Tuesday wherever you may be. I'll hear all about it up. But when we join on the 8th of August, thanks for you making time as well, buddy. Thanks, John.
Look forward to it. Everybody have a good week. Take care.